The reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, reading from verses 1 to 11, and it can be found on page 736 in the church Bibles. Isaiah 49, starting at verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob to him and gather Israel to himself, "For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to whom he was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servants of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Loving Lord, we thank you for your word which brings us light and life. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us now as we consider your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Technology and I could go horribly wrong in a moment or two. We'll have to wait and see. So tonight, we might turn to page 736 of the Church Bibles. We're going to look at that passage from Isaiah chapter 49. But first I wanted to read Psalm 117, which I happened to read this morning. And it was a reminder that we need to preach the gospel to all nations. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all your people. So great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you nations." First of all, once again, thank you for your invitation. I'm really pleased to be here. And also, and really speak about our links with Tanzania, but a special link with the Diocese of Mount Kilimanjaro. You're probably aware that we have two links as a diocese with Tanzania. The first is DMK, and the second is Katato, which I know you give equally to both. Is that right? And Isaiah has visited. Yeah, and so which is great. So I'm very grateful for that, and your obviously your donations to that, and also thank you on behalf of the committee. Richard Worsfold, your archdeacon, oversees the whole link now. David Shepherd oversees the link with Katato, and I oversee the link with DMK. It's a hard job, but someone's got to do it, as they say. And our key aim is to support each diocese in their priorities. So we try and allow them to set the agenda for us. So for Katato, which is, if you know, is a very remote diocese, it's essentially education and also supporting an eye hospital as well and other things. For DMK, it's church planting. Stanley says he's planted about 300 churches in about 2 or 3 years, or maybe 5 years, not quite sure. He has a vision to plant about 500 churches, I believe. So we're there to support his desire to plant churches, which plant churches. We're at Emmanuel, planted a church about a month ago, and that's our first for 80 years. And prior to that was we planted St. Mary's, which is 125 years ago. So Stanley has got a quite bit of a drive and vision to plant churches that plant churches. But for me, I think, with the link, it's a little deeper than just providing support. For me, it's important that we partner in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Therefore, the relationship that we have through the five bishops, that we have obviously other links of treaty in Wyoming, and regular visits through and regular contact through social media, is important because we're trying to partner in the gospel together. And our task, whether it was here in Leicester or overseas, is exactly the same. To preach and live out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is for all nations and to all nations. For all people and to all people, whether they live next door to us or they live a distance from us. Therefore, I think my aim, and hopefully the committee too, is to try as much as we're able to support each other in our calling to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I exchange regular WhatsApp messages with Bishop Stanley. I have my phone's there because I received one this morning requesting for some prayer for this, that, and the other. But when we exchange messages, he will remind me of my calling to proclaim the gospel here as much as I remind him of what he is doing as well. And also, because he also understands the culture here a little bit, because he's traveled to the United Kingdom on various and several occasions. You might remember 3 or 4 years ago, Leicester City won the Premier League, much to my sort of slight pleasure, but a lot of pain, I can assure you. I think in the end, I wanted them to win it. Let's just get that out there. But I can remember it was just after Bishop Martin was welcomed into the diocese, and Bishop Stanley and Bishop Isaiah and the other bishops were invited to come over for the welcome service. And that was on the Saturday. On the Monday, it was the massive celebration in Victoria Park and all around the city of Leicester, where the football team were paraded and the trophy and all the rest of it. And I was invited to go along with Bishop Stanley, Bishop Azar, and Bishop Martin and others to witness the parade, because we just couldn't have met if we didn't do that. But I can remember standing there with Bishop Stanley, and he just clearly wasn't engaging at all with what was going on. He just had no comprehension or no understanding. Bishop Isaiah was getting very excited and very getting into it. But Bishop Stanley just didn't understand it. And afterwards, he reminded me, no uncertain terms in the car on the way home, of the idolatry of football in our nation. And I thought, whoa, steady on. I must point out that football is quite big in Tanzania as well. They support Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United, Man City, Arsenal, and even, can you believe it, Spurs. It's getting bad. They also understand Leicester City as well. But I think what he was trying to do is to remind me of the things which detract us from the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in many ways, what I'm trying to do underneath it all is to try and get an equality as much as possible between the two dioceses. Now, that's difficult because of the financial disparity between the two. However, we need to work as hard as possible to make our partnership in the gospel the basis of our relationship. And our passage this morning focuses our hearts and minds on our common calling in Jesus Christ. And the first calling, I think, is from the prophet, is to all nations, to listen and to hear. In this case, distant, but in our case, both far and near, to listen and to hear. Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. And I was reflecting this week that an appeal to listen and an appeal to hear can easily fall on deaf ears in our culture today. You may have come across this book. It's called The Boy, the Mole, and the Fox, and the Horse by Charlie Mackesy. It's about second, I believe, in the non-fiction bestsellers at the moment. The first print run was 10,000. The second print run is about 115,000. It's a very, very gentle book of illustrations and sort of little quips and little anecdotes in there. It's a secular book, but a beautiful book, which seems to capture the hearts and minds of a whole cross-section of people. Charlie, I know, is a Christian who has worshipped at Holy Trinity Brompton for many years and preached there on many and regular occasions. Recently, he has given several interviews for papers like The Times and The Eye Paper, and I think he was interviewed by Simon Mayo on his programme this week. Now, this may just be me, I'm not quite sure, but not once has any of the articles mentioned his faith in Jesus Christ. It might be deliberate from both sides, I don't know. I wonder if he was known as a Christian, whether that would have an adverse effect on his book sales. I simply don't know. But it seems to me as though there's something missing there in what is being said. Sir Brian Suter owns and runs Megabus. He's just given £109 million to charity, but he's not liked, I believe, because he supports an orthodox view of marriage and is a Christian. He is worth a lot of money, not surprisingly. He's given away so much to make up the deficit that charities are experiencing. But I think his voice, in one sense, is being drowned out. As Christians, I believe we're not listened to or even heard. Yet our call is to call out to the nations to listen and to hear in quite demanding circumstances. It's not just here that Christian voices are being increasingly marginalised. It happens in Tanzania as well. I'm going to talk a bit about Jasper and Mary throughout this talk. Just give you a snippet of what their life is like at the moment. They run a Christian school in a place called Tolowa in a very rural part of Tanzania. Now, recently, within the past year or so, they've had to relocate to their school in Arusha, which is approximately 5 hours away, because the authorities have accused them of proselytizing. It's hard, as hard in Tanzania as it is here. We're called, our calling is to encourage people to listen and to hear the gospel in difficult and demanding circumstances. Yet also, we have a calling to announce the good news of the gospel in Christ. Before I was born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb. He has spoken my name. Prophets seem to have quite dramatic callings, so for authenticity, really. And so the servant rehearses his calling here. Have a calling, I don't believe, is exclusive to prophets. We all have a calling. Each one of us here has a calling, and our primary calling is to follow Jesus Christ, as I'm sure you know. So when we speak about our faith in Christ with authenticity and authority because we have that calling. And sometimes it can feel like we cannot fulfill our calling. However, as one commentator said this, the sovereign action of God calls before there is any indication of ability to fulfill their respective missions. The sovereign action of God calls before there is any indication of ability to fulfill their respective missions. It focuses our minds and our hearts on God and not ourselves to fulfill the calling that each one of us has. Thirdly, we also need to have confidence as well, and the Lord provides that. He made my mouth, verse 2, like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." I'm sure that many of us might be uneasy about war type metaphors, but the point the prophet is making is that the message, the word he has to speak and preach, has been finely honed. It's as sharp as a sword, sharpened for effectiveness, as accurate as a polished arrow, that is free from roughness or unevenness, so in order for it to hit the target that it was intended. Yet at the same time, the Lord looks after his servant, he conceals him, he protects him, he hid him. Very tender images in the midst of metaphors of war. We need confidence in the gospel to know that it is honed and finely tuned, and need to understand that it is good news. In the parable of the sower, there is no doubt at all that the seed that is sown is good. However, its effectiveness depends on the receptivity of the soil. Here, the words that are spoken to lands near and far are powerful. because in our context, they have the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, though, and there's a bit of reality kicks in, there is a bit of despondency. But I said, I've labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God. I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing at all. Splendor is promised, yet reality breaks in. But within that, confidence is also restored. Jasper and Mary, friends of mine, as I said, planted a church in Tulloa about 3 to 4 years ago. Tulloa is in a very rural area and at least an hour from the nearest road. Initially, and they moved from a different part of Tanzania, up near the Kenyan border, and Jasper commuted from a local town nearest the main road, so about an hour away, he was coming into Tulloa and out again. But because he had to do it on a motorbike, the petrol costs were far too great. So he decided to move his family into Tulloa, where they camped. However, this became dangerous because at night there were animals such as elephants, hyenas, and lions that were sort of prowling around their tents. So they thought they were particularly in danger there. So what they did was they built their own huts, mud huts, if you like, and now have a church building. Initially, they worshipped in a very simple wooden structure. And so the church has grown, and as I said before, they started a school. I visited Jasper and Mary about 3 times, and last year camped out with them for a couple of nights. I hope to spend a week with them next year. Their commitment to Christ, their hospitality, and their sacrifice is immense. I asked them once, well, why did you do this? Well, and they did it, said, because of the gospel. They're very clear. They looked at me and said, we do this because of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, when I asked what they would like prayer for, they ask prayer for loneliness because they feel isolated. There's no running water. There's no electricity. And life is hard. For them, it can feel like they have labored in vain, yet their confidence is also in the Lord. The servant in our passage turns from his own wisdom to God's wisdom, resting in God's faith. And I sometimes reflect as Christians that we too can become despondent. We can labor away for very little reward in our work, place, in our home, amongst our friends. We share the gospel in subtle ways sometimes, in sensitive ways, but often we feel as though it can fall on deaf ears, or we feel marginalized or pushed to the sides. In the hard times, when we are down, the encouragement is to rest on the Lord, to stay close to him, to stay close to him so he continues to be our strength. Verse 6. Is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I'll also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Because our calling for each one of us is to live a life that is worthy of the gospel, so that salvation may reach to the ends of the earth and even to the ends of our streets and the village here. The thought is that the servant is not the agent in communicating salvation in this context, but actually becomes in his own person the salvation the world needs, in the same way he is the world's light. However, for this to happen, the person to fulfill this must be beyond a human being. Isaiah will continue his story in due course, but of course we know that it was fulfilled in Christ. He is our hope. So what we have in common with DMK and Catato is salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen, ascended, glorified Lord, who one day will come back to judge the living and the dead. Our common purpose, our common task, is to partner in the gospel so the whole world has the opportunity to respond to the good news that each of us has received in Jesus Christ. Amen.